The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
2-2 pitch, and Churio flares it out to right. It sends Marte back to the wall, and it's gone! First home run of this series belongs to the Milwaukee Brewers. It's a game-tying solo blast for Jackson Churio.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The pitch. Fly ball, right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Churio. Adamas, the runner at first, the pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up. It is gone. Off the top of the wall and out of here. Garrett Mitchell, a go-ahead two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Milwaukee is buzzing because of what the Brewers did last night. Come from behind, bottom of the eighth, couple of dingers, one from Jackson Churio, and then Garrett Mitchell providing the go-ahead home run. Closed it out in the ninth, game three tonight at American Family Field. To let us know everything happening at AmFam Field tonight, we welcome in Brewers COO Marty Ronski. Marty, good morning.
Good morning, Gabe. So happy to be with you this morning.
Well, so we just had Jeff Levering on, so I'm going to ask you the same question we ended with him. What time did you go to bed last night? How much were you buzzing after you got home from that game?
Right. It was, in contrast to the night before, it was quite a difference. We were buzzing like there was no tomorrow. It's just, this is what you live for when you love sports and this sport in particular. It was, I'll take a late night any time for that result.
Well, and one of the things we were supposed to talk with you about, Marty, are these $10 tickets, thanks to a great partner of yours. But everybody else was buzzing after the game. They gobbled all of them up. $10 tickets, they sold out. That's unbelievable to get that kind of support.
Yeah, our fans are. If you were in that ballpark last night or you were watching and saw, our fans are absolutely incredible. After the game, we've got the chanting through the entire hallways. But that entire game, those folks know. I told you when we were on earlier this week, Gabe, just if you're counting us out, you haven't been watching us this season. The entire space was electric.
I want you to pick, and it's going to be difficult, your favorite moment from last night's game, because I've been tossing around all sorts of... We had a fan even mention Pete Alonso tripping over his bat as a very important, exciting moment. But between what happened all last night, what was your favorite moment of the game?
I'm going to go with the obvious. I think watching Garrett, right, that inning was just so up and down. It was, we're going to do this, we're not, oh my gosh, okay. And I think Garrett pulling it out, pulling out of himself what he knew he could do. Now, some people didn't see the aftermath after the game with Garrett and his dad on the field, which is another sort of, I'll turn my hat to my mom role and tell you that was a pretty amazing moment. But watching Garrett do that for the lead, and here I go. Now I'm going to have more favorite moments, right? And then to watch the way Devin closed, he was on fire. He was ready to go. So I gave you two or three or four. Yes, for one. But
that's where I am.
It just tells you that's how it goes. That's the game, and that was the magic of it all.
Brewer COO Marty Ronski joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What's going on at the ballpark today? I saw a pretty special guy is going to be throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah, we've heard, some of you have heard of him before. Now, Robin's in the house. Robin Yount throwing out the first pitch for us tonight. He is such an unbelievable supporter, fan, legend, you name it. That's Robin. Robin's in town. And then we're going to have, again, the rally towels last night. I told you guys earlier this week, those are like my favorite thing, those yellow rally towels going. Giving those away at the gates tonight. Good for Fitch. Lots open again 3 hours before game time. Gates 2 hours prior. There are still some tickets. Yes, our fans have been amazing. They are flying, but like I did earlier, I just checked. There are still tickets out there, $35 on up. Not a bad seat in the house, you guys. It is really going to be an incredible night.
Yeah, we got to figure out the three of us, because I was there last night. I was there with my mom. I was there with my wife. Marty, it was great.
You agree? It was just unbelievable, right? And then there was that scoreboard prompt. Hats off to our scoreboard folks.
Oh, where it got so quiet.
Tells everybody to be quiet. And notice what happened right after that. That was right before our amazing inning. And, you know, look, people don't even think about necessarily, you know, the in-game show and the other ways. That was amazing. And you want to know who was packing that house last night? Yeah, there were some Mets fans there, but it was Brewers all the way.
Just want to let you know, I think my favorite moment, like all the other stuff was incredible. My mom booing Jesse Winker is up there with my favorite moment personally. Again, not everybody got to see that, but I got to see that. So I was a big fan of that. I think we're trying to figure out ways. So we're probably going to be buying some of those tickets. So make sure everybody starts gobbling those tickets up.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Here's a little thing, though, that I'll float this idea your way, Marty. Do with it what you'd like. I mean, if you get the word undaunted on some t-shirts, like, those are going to fly off the shelf, Marty. Yeah. Like, that's my idea to you.
Especially now, right? Don't count us out. There was not a thing holding us. And you could see it. Could you see them come alive late night? I was like, oh, here we are. Here we're going, right? You could just see it happening. But going back to your mom and her amazing last moment, right? And I'm sorry, she was right on. To sort of see that strikeout to end a game again. You know, I don't want to start something, but there was some, I think there might have been a little.
He's the one who started.
He started it, Marty.
All right, let's get
something
straight.
Thank you. I'm with you on that. So I just thought I would maybe point out how, karma can be interesting.
I don't want to be any sort of jinx or get ahead of myself, but if things go the way we all certainly hope, how soon can I buy tickets to the NLDS?
as soon as the game ends tonight. So don't lose. Don't, look the other way. If you jump on, you'll already see we've got the placeholders for those home games next week. Again, I don't want to jinx this either, so I'm sort of knocking on everything near me. Right after that, thank you. I heard that. Right after the game, thank you for your participation and duly noted. Right after the game, jump on brewers.com/postseason. The site is so easy to use. Do not be daunted. And you jump on in. It's going to be just incredible.
Have you ever heard AmFam Field be that loud as it was in the eighth inning?
No, I will. And again, it's what you live for. We've had amazing moments in the ballpark, but I think every one of them that you're actually in, right, in that moment, just the chills go crazy. You guys were playing, you know, the home run calls right before you put me on, and literally chills head to toe. There is just something that, you know, is so intangible about that, about those moments and about that noise in there and being part of that. So City of Milwaukee, State of Wisconsin, showed out in fourth. It's something else. So we're so grateful.
Yeah. Marty, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for jumping on. One other favorite moment I just want to share with you. After the Jackson Churio home run, I don't know where this guy came from. He wasn't sitting behind me all game, but after the home run and everybody's going nuts, I just feel a tap on my back. I turn around. It's just some random fan. We high five and just start yelling, let's go at each other. Like it was, that place was up for grabs. It was, I don't know if I've ever been a part of anything like that. So people need to make sure they gobble up the rest of these tickets.
Yep. You can't describe it. If we come buy the rest of those tickets, again, not a bad seat in the house. If you can wave a rally towel, like, you know, you're part of it. You're part of it. So it's just going to be a great night. Come on out. Few tickets left. Brewers.com/postseason.
Appreciate it, Marty. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Go Brewers.
Marty Ronsky, Brewers COO, jumping on with us on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And our conversation with Marty in all coverage on 94.5 ESPN, part of the Hunt for Brew October. It's sponsored by Delta Dental. We'll continue to get excited for Brewers Game 3, Mets tonight, 6:08, AmFam Field, coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But the next best round of golf, that's going to happen for you. It's going to happen at the Wisconsin Club. Hey, do what I did. Join and be a member of the Wisconsin Country Club. No assessments, no food and beverage minimums, beautiful course, It's fun, challenging. That's what I love about it. That's why I joined out there. I love the practice area so I can sneak out maybe on a day like today. It's kind of busy, but I still want to get some swings in. Go out and use the practice facilities. They're fantastic. But maybe you're looking for, you know, golf and then something else with the family and all those different things as well. Well, the Wisconsin Country Club has tennis, pickleball courts, and a pool with themed Sundays, fun days each and every week during the summer. Get started today. Visit thewisconsincountryclub.com for membership info. The Wisconsin Country Club, just a fairway away.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I do.
Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Where?
Sure do. On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Adames, the runner at first, to pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up and it's good! Off the top of the wall and out of here! Garrett Mitchell, a go-ahead two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Good job. I don't want to look at him.
Yeah, I know. I noticed.
You notice he hasn't looked at me a lot today, huh? Interesting.
Josh gets on this side of the glass and then just becomes super critical of the guy on the other side.
Because he becomes Chewy because he's sitting in that seat. That seat is diseased.
We let him out of the cage one time and he just, oh boy, now he's putting on Chewy's glasses. Yeah, those aren't going to do anything for you.
He's those blind. Are tough.
Yeah, those hurt. Made me feel drunk.
Jeff Levering on the call. So exciting. A couple of texts we got to get to here. First, Matthew wanting to know if the random fan was Chris Christie. I don't understand the joke. Was Chris Christie at the game last night? I don't understand.
I don't know.
What are you, Jen syndrome? You're just reading before thinking about it? What is happening?
Well, I thought maybe there was a joke that I missed that you guys could fill me in on.
No.
All I can think about is him participating in that softball game wearing baseball pants.
See, now I'm glad I brought it up.
Down,
isn't
right.
there a Mets connection there? Wasn't it a Mets uniform he was wearing?
Yeah.
I think, okay.
Yeah. Jay says you need to make Marty a regular guest during the season. She's great on the radio. Marty
Ronsky. It.
Yeah. The energy that Marty has is infectious. Like, I was so excited when they were like, hey, you guys want to have Marty on? Yeah. Yes, we will take Marty on. Because, yes, she is fantastic. Brewers COO just joined us. You happen to miss that. Catch it, Wisconsin On Demand later. And Justin saying, I can't wait to be in the building tonight. I feel better that Contreras and Adames have not had a big moment yet. Feels like their time to bring it home tonight.
I saw a lot of this yesterday. There was some talking about, there was like 0-19 or the lack of production. Some of those guys have had like four or five at bats. Baseball is like a game of sample size and needing as many at bats to kind of get a true idea. I understand you want Willie Adames and Wilson Contreras to be William Contreras, sorry.
Yeah.
To be, I don't know where Wilson came from there, to be a factor, but not every guy is going to appear in every single game.
But Willie had a big moment last night.
Yes, gigantic.
Like, if he doesn't get that hit, we don't get Garrett Mitchell.
No.
And he doesn't hit that home run. Like, so even though it's not as big as Trujillo tying it, it's not as big as Mitchell giving you the lead, it's just as big because it gets you. That's why, honestly, it's a big reason why I love baseball. I feel like last night, 1-9, I mean, everybody had something where they contributed in that game last night. Trujillo had the couple of home runs. You had the big sack fly from Blake Perkins. Contreras had a hit. In there, you had, I mean, even Gary Sanchez.
Yep.
He had a hit. So then you get Garrett Mitchell in the game to pinch run. Like, it just seemed like everything kind of fell into place for this team. Joey Ortiz maybe didn't have a hit, had a couple really big defensive plays.
The anomaly here is Jackson Trujillo, which we've spent a lot of time talking about. But
he's literally doing things that no one has ever done, or the other person who's done them is Babe Ruth.
Yeah, and in baseball, not everybody has a big play every game. If the Brewers stay in this long enough, I promise you Contreras and Adames are going to single-handedly flip games on their head by themselves, the same way Jackson Trujillo and Garrett Mitchell have as well. I'm not worried about them at all. I'm not worried about really anything as it comes to the Brewers' ability to score some runs. I just think those guys are the type of guys, even Rhys Hoskins.
Well, so that's the one I'm waiting for.
Uh-huh.
Noted Met killer Rhys
yes.
Hoskins
yes.
hasn't had his moment yet either.
Do you think if he does something cool, we get a wham as he crosses home plate, like just towards the...
I mean, McNeil's not there at second base, so it's tough.
Yeah, but there's a little bit extra with that Winker stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe
he just flips Winker the bird as he rounds third. I don't know.
Yeah, they are crybabies over there. I don't know. I have the utmost confidence. I mean, Jackson Chourio, as it appears right now, is just going to be a factor offensively in every single game and probably contribute on defense, but... There is enough talent up and down the lineup for you to have confidence every single game out there.
Daniel the Sloth saying, should have never been in that spot down 3-1 if the pitcher knew how to catch a simple toss from first base. Look, Daniel.
Yeah.
Look, bud. Bud.
We know.
I was very upset in the moment.
Uh-huh.
Guess what I did after Garrett Mitchell hit a 2-run home run in the bottom of the eighth with 2 outs to take the lead last night?
Forgot.
Forgot completely about it.
Slapped some random
Didn't
guy
matter.
In the back. And
yeah. Just started yelling, let's go, at everybody around me.
I did find it quite amusing that the broadcast on ESPN made it quite clear that the Brewers yesterday, before the game, were working on the PFPs, the exchange there over at... He said, yes, it might have failed here, but I can tell you that they were practicing it as a team yesterday morning, which is kind of the first thing you do when spring training starts.
Oh, it is day one stuff, man. It is day one.
And day one is a thing we kind of used flippantly, but no, it's literally. They get to spring training in Arizona, and they're working on that instantly.
There's going to be another one tonight. I just feel it, by the way.
Shut up.
I'm just saying.
You dork.
You're not invited anymore.
Yeah.
I got laundry, dude. It's fine.
I'm going to give you a swirly.
Just saying. I don't feel good about that part.
No.
It meant nothing. It means nothing. I'm just saying.
I mean, it caused stress from innings 2-8. So? Just a lot of stress there throughout the game. But Josh, you put it on the poll. If you check it out, at Jen Gabe Chewy. So I want to know, 800-990-3776. We asked Marty. She gave us like 4 moments. We'll go around here quickly, and if you want to join the conversation, 800-990-3776. What was your favorite moment? Favorite moment from last night's game?
To me, it's Jackson. I know Garrett, obviously, is the reason the game was won, but I, in that moment, as a Brewers fan, thinking of recent history and recent playoff struggles, was about as down in the dumps as I can remember. I was in the... Oh, this again. I've seen this story again. I've been through this. And to see him coming up and going, well, this can all change right here. This can all be a difference. And Jackson to hit his second home run of the game, as we've mentioned now about 5 times, tying, joining Babe Ruth.
I believe it was game 4 of the 1928 World Series to hit 2 game-tying home runs in the same postseason.
Did they
game.
Stop playing baseball in there, or has that just been no one else has done it? Because it feels like this is so special.
It was almost 100 years ago.
This is that player, Jackson Chourio, to be signed at that age to that much money. 2033 game, the Brewers and Jackson Chourio, BFFs. They're going to be around. That is so exciting because not only does it give you the tie, it gives you the historic moment, but you start looking forward and you go, wow, this is going to be here a long, long time.
800-990-3776. David in Oak Creek. Seems like you agree with Joshy. David, what was your favorite moment from last night?
It was definitely the 8th inning when Chourio hit that home run. That place was just electric, and it gave us that opportunity with 6 outs left that we were in this game and we were going to win this game somehow, some way.
Were you there?
Led that team yesterday.
Were you there, David?
To the 8th inning, and really gave them a lot of motivation.
Were you in the building last night?
We were in the Lowe's box watching it. So it was great. The last 2 nights were amazing out there. Chourio's definitely been the leader the whole way. But the 8th inning was just nuts when he hit that homer.
Do you think you've ever heard AmFam Field as loud as it was in that 8th inning?
It was amazing. It was just amazing. The best it's ever been there.
Yeah, unbelievable. We appreciate the call, David. 800-990-3776. Your favorite moment from the Brewers' victory last night. Stevie shouting out Trevor McGill in the 5th, getting the fellas riled up.
Do you see that video? Have you seen that yet?
Well, so he was fired up because he got called for the balk.
Yes.
And he doesn't think he did anything.
Yes.
Did he have some not-so-kind words for the umpire or what?
No, he I believe it was Wake the Bleep Up. Or Wake Up Mother Bleepers. to the bench. Like saying, oh, hey.
Let's go.
Let's go. I got you here. We got out. Let's go. And the video of it, you can find it on Twitter. It is. That's an intense man. And, I mean, he came up huge. And he was fired up. I love a relief pitcher screaming gets me going.
Oh, man. So, after a big K? Yeah, oh, yeah, buddy. Yeah.
But this is just kind of like the weirdness of this entire season. Because Trevor McGill, I mean, he was nobody. Nobody. And he had to become the Brewers closer because Devin Williams was injured at the beginning of the season. And because he got that experience in those high leverage situations, and then Devin Williams came back, like it allows Pat Murphy to go, hey, I need some big outs here. I don't care. It's the fifth. Like, this is a high leverage situation. We need you right now. And McGill just answering the bell, like, that's so cool to me. Like, yeah, you were the closer before, but these three outs might be as big as any three outs we have to get in the game. Go get them. And then he does.
I do love that Murphy went back in his bag and was like, I know people are criticizing me, but like, this is the guy I need to throw right now.
Yep.
Like, when was the last time Trevor McGill pitched in the fourth inning ever in his life? Like, at a high moment?
Yeah.
He's doing it in a do-or-die game?
Who knows?
Awesome.
Because he had to get that last out, and then he goes out there in the fifth inning, so he gets his four outs. It's fantastic. 800-990-3776. Sean and Franklin, you're up next. Sean, what was your favorite moment from last night's Brewers victory?
Hey, good morning, guys. As a coach, it's hard to overlook the Bryce Terrain hustle double to lead off the inning with good team baseball following it. And Churio moving him over to third, and then the sack fly to bring it to 3-2 and give us a chance to tie it up there with the Churio home run later in the game. So doing everything possible with the home runs to win it late, but the team baseball kind of keeping them in the game and getting some leverage and momentum going.
I think that exemplifies kind of what Jeff Levering was saying. They do it in a lot of different ways, and I love Terang. It feels like if the ball isn't hit directly at an outfielder, second base is in play. Like, the ball barely gets into gaps, yeah, and he's on his way, and they're not. It's never even a close play. It's no. Like, he's just there.
Throw's coming into the cutoff, right, man. You're like, wait, how did this just happen?
Yeah, there is, and that's not something we've seen really in the modern history of baseball for, like, the past 10 years. The home runs were the thing, and that was what the eighth inning was all about, but you can't look past that type of stuff of getting an extra base, getting the sacrifice. Like, that's how you win baseball games in the playoffs, that kind of stuff.
Justin saying, kind of mentioned it, but the most underrated one is really with the diving double play in the first. If that gets through, who knows how many runs they score that inning.
Yeah, that one was, we were on the verge of me being even worse down in the dumps going, oh, here we go again.
More.
I promise, runs. I'm making a solemn swear, I'm not doing here we go again today at any point.
Thank you.
I don't believe him.
I appreciate it.
I don't believe him for a single second. Well, that's not exactly lying.
Yeah, and you know how I can avoid that? Brewers just jump out to a lead and keep it. How about that?
How about them apples, right, Jeff?
That would be fantastic. John says, Gary Sanchez, the real hero. If he doesn't get that single, Mitchell doesn't even come in to pinch run.
He's so slow. He's the slowest person I've ever seen.
I thought there was a chance he was going to get thrown.
So did I. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, despite, like, diving, falling, and then I look at first, I'm like, how is he not there
Where
yet?
Where is he? Where
and
are
he's
you?
Just, he's a big lug of a man who's in there to hit the ball a long way, not leg out infield singles. No. But he did. He did. And that got Garrett Mitchell.
Did what
Mitchell,
we needed.
Got Garrett Mitchell in the game. 800-990-3776. Brad in Whitewater. Brad, you're up next. What was your favorite moment? Brewers 5-3 win over the Mets.
It was Mitchell's home run. I know Jackson kind of got us going, tied it up. And Mitchell came through, hit that home run, and I jumped off the couch. I knew it's like, all right, you know, we're alive again. We're going to see you guys tomorrow. We're going to take this thing.
So even though you weren't at the game, how long did it take you to kind of come down from the emotions of the game and go to bed last night?
I'm still rolling, man. I'm still so excited.
Yes!
I cannot wait to get out of work tonight and listen to it on the way home on the AM radio and get home, turn TV on, and hopefully we're winning.
Appreciate you, Brad. Appreciate the call. 800-990-3776. I will say this about the Garrett Mitchell home run. that took AmFam Field to a different level.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because as cool as a 20-year-old kid hitting a second home run of the game was, that tied the game. And to Jeff's point, I feel like there were a couple of different times in the game yesterday where the crowd could have gone into, oh no, here we go again mm-hmm. mode. And instead, even if it was just fake and forcing it out, like the crowd would just start to get loud. Like, nope, we're not going to get in a lull here. We're gonna get loud. We're going to get behind our guys. And the Brewers came through. And when Jackson hit that home run, the place is up for grabs because now they've actually tied the game. Like, holy crap, they've done this. We're in this. When Garrett hit that home run, like, it was just the place for up for grabs. Just up for grabs.
Yeah, I wasn't there yesterday. I was there for the Nigel Morgan winning in that game. And that was, it's like surreal. You like lose where you are.
Yeah.
You lose control of your emotions and the things you're yelling. You're just, it's not even words. It's just excitement
yeah.
because of that. And it was apparent as somebody who was watching the TV broadcast that people were out of their damn minds. And it just shows how hungry Brewers fans are and all the people in the state for something like this, for a deep run into the playoffs and more games to be played and more games to support their favorite team. It's long overdue, it feels. There's been a lot of excitement, and we've said all year this feels different, and that's a good example of it being different, actually, for the Milwaukee Brewers.
We'll quickly get to Adam in Racine. Adam, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What was your favorite moment from last night?
We all love a redemption story. Joel Piam's blowing it the night before and then making a really good technical defensive play and then getting out of the bases loaded jam was the turning point for me, even more than McGill.
That's the whole undaunted thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Piam's, it wasn't great yesterday. You bounce back, and you get your outs last night.
Pat Murphy lived it. Yeah. After yesterday, 2 days ago, Pat Murphy had every reason to avoid Piamps in that situation. And he said, nope.
He's one of our guys.
This is the guy. This is who we need. And I believe in him. And he did it. And it paid off. As much as everyone was critical of pulling Freddie early in the first game, Pat Murphy was in his bag yesterday. He pulled every right string to get a Brewers win.
Jace Rindall, he is the head coach of UW-Whitewater. They have a big game coming up against UW-Oshkosh this weekend. He joins us coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Strikes out the side. Crowd coming alive as we go to the bottom of the fifth inning. The Brewers are chasing a couple of runs. It's 3-1 New York.
And the Brewers were able to chase those runs down last night at AmFam Field, forcing game three tonight. American Family Field against the Mets, 6:08 first pitch. Also tweeting in, Josh from Heartland. Tuesday night, Polish sausage face planted during the sausage race. Last night, Polish sausage won. Undaunted. Big games all over the place. Not only do we have a big game tonight here in Milwaukee, there is a big game in Whitewater happening this weekend as UW-Whitewater is taking on UW-Oshkosh. Both teams ranked inside the D3Football.com top 25. And joining us right now to talk about it, their head coach for the Warhawks, Jace Rindall. Jace, thanks so much for the time, man.
Hey, guys, great to be here. Hey, how about the Brewers? How about the Brewers?
I mean, we're jacked. We've been talking about it all day. We're super excited. How much time do you have for something like that when you're in the middle of the season?
Not much attention at all. But last night I was able to tune in after we got done with watching the film and doing some recruiting, and holy cow. But Pat Murphy, I think he's such a stud. And, you know, even though that's the baseball space, you know, as a football coach and as a leader, there's plenty of things that, you know, I like to take from him and add to me and my personal spot.
We've been asking everybody what their favorite moment was from yesterday's game. You are obviously a Wisconsin resident, born and raised here. What was your favorite game altogether?
Were we talking about last night?
Yes, Brewers game, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously the home runs in the eighth inning were amazing, but the defense getting out of the the bases were loaded. I think that was in the seventh inning, and they got out of a pinch even in the sixth inning. So just seeing them play that complimentary baseball and find a way to get it done in the back end of the game was pretty special for Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin.
Jace Rindall, head coach of UW-Whitewater, joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tough one for you last time out, Coach. Eight turnovers in a loss against Mary Hardin-Baylor, 35-17. You had a bye week. How did the team respond to that tough loss now going into this game against Oshkosh?
Yeah, that was a tough one. We were not prepared. We were not ready. We came out there and didn't play up to our standards and really got smacked in the face. But you know, it's really not about how much you succeed. It's how much how you respond to failure and how you can grow from that. So I think our bye week was great. You know, we really invested in ourselves and looked ourselves in the mirror and what are our strengths? What do we need to build off of? What are some of our deficiencies? You know, how do we need to clean those up? We really emphasized finding ways to get connected as a team and just let's keep attacking this thing one day at a time, trying to get better as a program. Our long-term goal is to win a conference championship. We look at our non-conference games. They're there to prepare you for the conference and the conference schedule. So everything we have is still in front of us, and we're exactly where we need to be, and we couldn't be more excited for this challenge we have on Saturday.
Coach, it is your second year as the head coach of the Warhawks. What would you say you have learned, and what are the biggest adjustments you've made from year one to year two as the head coach out there in Whitewater?
It's definitely a constant learning process. You're definitely, you don't quite know what it is to be a head coach till you sit in that seat. You know, the first thing I learned coming out of year one is just the communication piece. You know, you got to make sure you're crystal clear with your expectations and what you want out of your staff and also the players. But this year, you know, having a little bit of adversity in the front end, that competitiveness, I think that's something that internal competition, when you're at training, when you're going against each other, are you going through the motions? Are you competing and trying to get each other better? And I think, that's something that we learned this week is that we weren't going at it in our training the right way. But guess what? That's okay. We can fix it and move forward. And I think our guys are going to come out and play at a high level on Saturday because we really attacked these practices and really looked at ourselves in the mirror and said, hey, we're better than this. Let's do it on a day-to-day basis.
Jace Rindall, head coach, UW-Whitewater football. They've got a big one coming up against UW-Oshkosh this Saturday. The WIAC is always good, Coach. We know that. But is it a little tougher this year? I'm looking at the D3Football.com top 25. Five teams in the WIAC are ranked in the top 25?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I mean, I think I grew up in Wisconsin, so well aware of the competitiveness of this conference and how talented it is year in and year out. I mean, you look at, there's some L's on the WIC, yeah, but a lot of those are Division II schools, right? So, we can't even get D3 schools to want to play us within this conference. So, but it's going to be a gauntlet like it is every year. But why would you want it any other way, right? Like, you're going to go against the best to figure out how good you are. And I, being around this program for as many years as I've had, you can take care of this conference. You can find a way to win this conference that really sets you up for that next season and get in that playoff. So, we love the challenge of it. And again, can't wait to get into it on Saturday.
Recruiting has been a big discussion for the Division I game right now, especially with NIL transferring, all that stuff. How has D3 recruiting changed, if it has at all, in the recent years here for you?
I mean, I don't know how much it's changed besides like speeding up. Okay. What I mean by that is now we're visiting in the spring. Okay. Now we got summer camps where you're going there to evaluate talent. We're getting offers out earlier. People are loving the social media attention of posts and this and that. So I think it's sped up a bit, but in like the transfers and all that deal, I think at the end of the day, you can get some transfers and they're going to help, but you have to make your money on high school recruits and developing those guys. Because when they transfer, yes, they're transferring for a reason. And for your culture to be where you want it to be, it's going to start with getting 18, 19-year-olds in the program, developing them, retaining them, and then hopefully – by the time they're sophomores, juniors, seniors, they're out there and helping you produce and get the job done.
Jace Rindahl is the head coach of UW Whitewater football, joining us on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. UW Oshkosh coming to Whitewater and Perkins Stadium, 1 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. What challenges does UW Oshkosh present for your team?
They're a heck of a team. I mean, they've been battle tested. They won two games to start off the year against top 25 teams as well. Being down in the second half, finding a way to overcome it and come back and win. So they're a dang good football team. Offensively, they got one of the best receivers, playmakers in the country at receiver number 16 from Waukesha West, Trey. Offensive line solid. Offensive coach, Coach Jennings, does a heck of a job spreading the ball out and attacking the field vertically. So we're going to have our hands full there. On the defensive side of the ball, their defensive coordinator has been there for many years, and they do a heck of a job showing an odd front, mixing and matching, kind of unique with their schemes and their fronts. But they're a dang good football team, so we're excited for that challenge and can't wait to get out there.
What in the games that you guys have won, the first two games of the year, and that does include a win over a top 25 team in Division III, Coach, what have you done? When Whitewater football is at its best in 2024, what does that look like?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. You take care of the football. You convert third downs. When you get into the red zone, you come away with points. And you look at our first game, really convincing. I mean, we were 11 out of 13 on third down. So when you can do that, when you can keep the ball moving, the likelihood of you scoring more points than the opponent's going to go up. So
not bad, Coach. 11 for 13 on third down. You just like skipped over like, yeah, I mean, we'd like to do that. Yeah, I think everybody would like
pretty
to be
good.
11 of 13 on third down.
Yeah. Well, we didn't do that in the next couple games, so we got some ways to go. But
there's the football coach.
It's a pretty high standard to set right away.
I mean, you look at a game of football, and I think a lot of times those coaches make it a little bit more complicated than it needs to be. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's about blocking, it's about tackling, and it's about caring about each other. And I think if you can get your guys to do that and believe into that, you got a pretty good chance.
Jace Rindahl, he's the head coach of UW Whitewater football. Coach, thank you so much for the time. Best of luck against UW Oshkosh, and I hope you get a little bit of time tonight where you can tune into that Brewers game.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. We'll be tuned in. Go Warhawks.
Jace Rindahl, again, he's the head coach of UW Whitewater football. UW Oshkosh coming to town at Perkins Stadium, 1 p.m. kickoff. Make sure you're checking that out.
Not that it's a surprise, but that's a football guy right there. I love that.
Well, you got to be. I mean,
yeah.
The long line.
You got me fired up.
Yeah. The long line of successful coaches that have been there. Like, Lance Leopold is now a Division I, like, they were a top 25 team earlier this year at Kansas. That's the type of coaching talent that has come through UW Whitewater. Change the way you do business. Take more control of the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's treasury management solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line. All customized for your business. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story. Because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies,
heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. Swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar... And he puts a curse on you?
Look, I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Adamas Torres throws the pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up. It is gone. Off the top of the wall and out of here. Garrett Mitchell, a go-ahead two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning. Them apples.
A lot. Love them, actually.
Yeah. Want more of those apples?
hopefully Levering's got more for us tonight. Brewers met 6:08 first pitch. Game three. The only game three. It's the only game in town.
Thank
Everybody
God.
Everybody else got swept.
So otherwise, they would have played at 2 o'clock
208?
Today. Another. I'm so happy we're not having that conversation.
Tough.
Would have been easier to go to the game, though. To be honest. Me personally,
we're all so concerned.
I could do my laundry later.
Wait. I thought the only concern for you was laundry.
It's about timing,
Gabe. How does 208 make sense?
I got more time
laundry
after the game to do laundry.
Do you have time to go to a game? Don't you have time to do your laundry before the game?
Are we going to this game or what? Did you buy tickets yet?
No.
You're paying for this, right? That's Josh and I are under that assumption.
Yeah. Gabe's treat.
I don't know about that. I mean, I appreciate you, you know, thinking that that's what happens here, but...
You make the big bucks around
here. Yeah, I don't know about that either. Dennis and Plover, favorite part of the game. Now that it's over, watching Murphy pulling all the strings and working his magic. And Josh, that is something you have brought up a couple of different times. As much as everybody absolutely just wanted to kill Pat Murphy.
Wring his neck.
After game one. Oh, all the regular season, and then he wants to manage like his old boss. Nah, man, like this is Pat Murphy managing the way he's going to manage.
And we haven't seen Pat Murphy manage in the playoffs yet. We've seen the regular season.
Yep.
In the playoffs, everything changes. The hook is shorter.
It's all different.
People are going to have shorter hooks. You're going to play guys in positions that usually you wouldn't during the season. The stakes are higher.
Trevor McGill came in the fourth.
Yeah. And it was the right call.
Yeah.
It worked. It got him out. Got the team fired up.
Guess what you're never doing in the regular season?
Pitching McGill in the fourth.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and everything changes. And if the Brewers have the luxury or the great honor of advancing, things will continue to be this way. And with the longer series that will stretch on further, things will look a little bit different. You will see some stuff Craig Counsell did. I mean, let's be honest here. Those two guys are pretty good buds. They have a long history together. They have taken things from one another and gotten better from it.
I don't think everything Craig Counsell did last year, Murph was just sitting on the bench going, oh, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's the worst idea I've ever seen. Yeah, I'd imagine they were kind of simpatico about that. Yeah. So I mean, at this point, I have more faith in Pat Murphy, the manager, than I did in Craig Counsell. That's how confident I am in him.
Chris texts in, the loudest I ever heard that stadium, game one of the NLCS when Woody homered off of Kershaw. Yeah. I'm sure last night rivaled that moment. Okay. Because that's so unexpected.
Yes.
You've got a lefty-lefty matchup, pitcher versus pitcher, and Woody took him deep.
Yeah, that was more like shock.
Yeah.
Was like pure excitement.
Because it was like game one of the NLCS. Yeah, just going crazy. Let's quickly, 800-990-3776, because we asked you, favorite moment from last night. Let's get to Sam in Maguanago. Sam, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, Gabe.
What's up, Sam?
I think our 20-year-old phenom, two home runs in his second career playoff game. Has anyone ever done that at 20 years old?
Well, it's funny you ask.
The two home runs, the multi-homer game, he is the second youngest to do that. I believe a 19-year-old Miguel Cabrera did it. I could be wrong on that. I just saw second youngest, and I know Miggy was like 19 when he played with the Marlins. But the one thing he did do last night, Sam...
Buckle up, pal.
By hitting two game-tying home runs in the same postseason game, there's only one other player who's ever done that.
Do you want to guess?
Oh, it's the old Babe Ruth.
George Herman Ruth. Nearly 100 years ago in the 1928 World Series. So, I mean, if that's the company you're keeping, you're doing some pretty special stuff.
I have two other quick names to throw out there, though. Pat Murphy. Mm-hmm. And I think the one name everyone is underestimating as well is Matt Arnold. First year, signing Carrillo to that deal, bringing in some of the bullpen and some of the Frankie Montas, Savali, all these guys who Savali was a starter. Now he's in the bullpen and he looked good the other night, honestly. I mean, he's doing untraditional things and they're working. Murphy and Arnold.
Yeah. And they have to be on the same page. Appreciate the call, Sam. They have to be on the same page. And as good as Counsell and Stearns before these two were, these two have just picked up the ball and ran with it.
Yeah, the fact that there was really no transition, no lull, no layoff, the Brewers just picked up and said, hey, we're one of the best teams in baseball. Let's do this. And there were, what is it, 16 different guys on this roster right now?
From last year, yeah. Only 10 were on the playoff roster a year ago.
Stuff like that doesn't really happen.
No.
Not in baseball.
Nope. I can't wait. Cannot wait.
Fired up.
6:08. Still 9 hours away. It's going to be a long 9 hours.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long 9 hours, but I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm jacked up. Josh is jacked up. We're going to the game. Who knows if we'll be able to talk tomorrow, but we will talk to you tomorrow. Wilde and Tausch up next.